You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the Senior Digital Editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. Joining me in studio today, ChicagoFootball.com fantasy football writer JC Talon. JC, how you doing?
Doing well.
And joining us over Skype, Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how you doing today?
Outstanding. How are you, Mr. Solly?
Well, I'm back in the playoffs in the Family League. I'll be honest. It was a complete embarrassment for me last year in the Family League with my wife and my sister who, you know, let's be honest, don't really pay much attention to football. And I finished dead last in that league last year. Back with a vengeance and in first place. So I'm doing pretty good after a good fantasy week. How was everybody else's fantasy weeks, JC?
Yeah, I did well. Won again in the big league and in the family league. 3 weeks in a row, my bench has outscored my starters, but I've won all three games. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Don't say that too often.
A lot of talent out there in that league with grandma playing, you know.
Arthur, how about you? How was your fantasy week?
Yeah, it went pretty well. Leading quarterback roles with Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Cam Newton. So I had the rare 4-0 week, which I'm pretty pleased about.
Nice. All right. Well, fantasy playoffs are here for most of you. If you're not, you're probably just a week away. So we're going to get you ready for your fantasy playoffs or your fantasy maybe play-in game for playoffs. I know I'm in a situation like that in one of my leagues. We're going to get to our news and notes first. David Johnson, the Arizona Cardinals running back who was everyone's favorite value play in DFS this past week, did it all. He had a career-high 99 yards. He had 21 yards on a couple of catches, including one for a touchdown. He had runs of 23, 17, 10, and 9 yards, so he's got some big playability. Is he an RB1 going forward, considering he's going to get a fair amount of touches in Arizona, JC?
Well, I would definitely play him. Whether he's RB1 or RB2, I'd have him in your lineup. You know, unless you were really stacked at the position, and even if you were, you'd probably put him at flex. But he's definitely a top 12 guy. You know, so if you're in 12-team league, yeah, he's an RB1.
Arthur, what did you see out of David Johnson this week?
Yeah, I'm even more ambitious than JC. I was going to say not only is he a RB1, he might be the RB1.
Whoa,
this is the it's the touchdown leader on the number one scoring offense in football. He has better versatility, better explosiveness, and fresher legs than Chris Johnson had, who kind of plodded through the month of November after his torrid start. And he's got the Vikings, the Eagles, and the Packers left. So, you know, when that all, you add it all up, and I don't see why that's an impossibility at this point.
Yeah, I think when you break it down in touchdowns per touches, I think he's got to be at the top of the list. He didn't get a ton of touches to start the year. And he just keeps finding the end zone when he gets the ball.
Well, and Andre Ellington is not practicing early in the week. And even if he does, there's no doubt that Bruce Arians knows that he can't be counted on. In fact, has talked about limiting Ellington's touches even when he is healthy, which is pretty rare. So, yeah, I like Johnson. I don't know if I would go quite as far as Arthur, but he's definitely he's a starter.
All right, and congrats if you picked him up. And if you were listening to us, I'm sure you picked him up. So congratulations to our listeners out there. Let's move on to Doug Baldwin. Since the bye, 24 receptions, 433 yards, 6 touchdowns. Guys, it's not a fluke anymore. This is a trend, and he's still available in 30% of leagues. Arthur, Doug Baldwin, where do you have him going forward for people's fantasy playoffs?
Well, I mean, he's certainly become a must play, and I don't think Baldwin suddenly became this tremendous talent overnight or anything. I think this is more about opportunity. Obviously, Russell Wilson has been on a tear, of course. 11 total touchdowns, 0 interceptions during Seattle's 3-game winning streak, and he's not looking anyone's direction more than Doug Baldwin. I saw an ESPN stat. Wilson is 17 of 19 when targeting Baldwin over the past 3 weeks, and the numbers have been pretty ridiculous with the 6 total touchdowns. So certainly he's going to be on your roster, but I still tend to think this is a little bit more about opportunity than him suddenly being this game breaker. He's just in a good place at a good time, and the same can be said for his owners.
And JC, who would have figured taking out Jimmy Graham and Marshawn Lynch is exactly what the Seattle offense needed?
Well, you know, Lynch, I think, was a little dinged up and might have been actually hurting that offense by playing. The one thing I like about Baldwin, and especially with Wilson as his quarterback, is you're not going to run into that situation where you play a good defense and they put their shutdown corner on him. So he's just good enough, right? And then with the way Wilson scrambles, Baldwin's going to get open sometimes, no matter who's guarding him. So, yeah, I like him a lot. I definitely would have him in my playoff lineup.
And again, still available in about 30% of leagues from what I've seen. So if he's somewhere somehow out there, you got to snatch him up at this point.
I got to get in one of those leagues.
I know, right?
and the beauty of his matchups going forward, just to kind of piggyback off what JC said, there are no elite number one corners left. He's got Baltimore this week, then Cleveland, who's down Hayden and Gilbert, and then St. Louis, who's without Janoris Jenkins and Trumaine Johnson right now. So this just sets up absolutely perfectly for Seattle and for Baldwin owners.
Speaking of setting up perfectly, let's talk about the Jacksonville offense. Number one, guys, is Allen Robinson, a top five fantasy wide receiver. And how about Blake Bortles as your playoff QB? They've got Indianapolis, Atlanta, and New Orleans. Those are three soft defenses to go up against in your fantasy playoffs, guys. JC, I'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I would say this. Two out of three ain't bad. Didn't Meatloaf say that? You guys are probably too young for that. But anyway, Indy, number 30 against the pass. New Orleans, number 31. Atlanta, number 11, actually a little better than you might think. But for those two matchups, yeah, I love both those guys.
Arthur, where do you got Jacksonville's offense? I didn't think we'd be talking about this late in the year, but where do you have Bortles and Robinson going forward?
Well, you know, Allen Robinson is the number four fantasy scorer among wide receivers. So just to answer your question literally, yes, he belongs in that conversation. Blake Bortles, he scares me a little bit only because I feel like I have made the wrong decision on him every week up until this past Sunday in a two quarterback flex league. I also had Joe Flacco earlier in the year. I just never could seem to get it right. But the stats are the stats. He has at least two touchdowns in all but three of Jacksonville's games this season, and the Jaguars' defense has sunk to 30th amongst scoring units. So you know the opportunities are going to be there. We just talked about, you know, Robinson has been dominant, especially down by the red zone. He's actually a big play threat all over the field. So, yeah, I mean, this schedule aligns right, but I don't know what it is about Bortles, whether it's the occasional interception or just kind of still the young mistakes, whether he's throwing the football from in front of the line of scrimmage. We've seen that several times. The awareness may not be there, but certainly the opportunity, certainly the supporting cast and that big arm and that athleticism are all, you know, checks all the boxes.
Yeah, look, the interceptions are, I think, always going to be there with Bortles. He does not make the strongest of decisions, but you know the volume is going to be there. You know the opportunity is going to be there, and he's got a stud in Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas. Those two have started to hook up lately, so I think Bortles, if you're debating about a playoff QB on your roster and Bortles is one of those options, I'd give it a strong look at this point. Let's move on. I love what Marcus Mariota did this past week against the Jacksonville defense. We just mentioned how they've been torched. But let's pump the brakes for the fantasy playoffs at the Jets, at New England, and versus Houston to close out what is the fantasy playoffs for most guys, most teams. JC, pumping the brakes on Marcus Mariota a little bit.
Well, okay, let's just focus on this week. Number one, the Jets defense is really good and it's really talented, and I don't think Tennessee matches up well. But I will offer this caveat. I sat DeAndre Hopkins in my family league against the Jets because their defense is so good, and he scored, I think, 6,500 points that game.
Roughly.
Yeah, so give or take a few.
It's a metrics game, I think.
Yeah. And I could see Mariota having some success, breaking a scramble, maybe throwing it and getting, you know. But by and large, I would probably sit him. And then New England is only number 15 against the pass, but you know they're going to play well against a rookie. And then Houston's actually number 3 against the pass. So long answer to your short question is yes, pump the brakes.
Arthur?
Yeah, I agree. You can't not be excited about what we've seen from Mariota, especially the 78-yard run, obviously. But it's worth mentioning that it accounted for, I think, a third of his rushing yards on the season. So up until that huge scoring play, he actually had kind of been underperforming or not quite meeting people's expectations with those additional points on the ground. And, you know, the Jets defense actually hasn't been as good lately, but they still have the personnel. And then you look past that, obviously, in New England and Houston. you know, two teams that can certainly make life miserable for a rookie quarterback. And, you know, I think future outlook, dynasty leagues, everything like that, you're all over Mariota, but you got to do, you know, I would pump the brakes as well, as you said.
All right, let's move on and preview the Bears-Washington game from a fantasy perspective. What a disappointment this past week the Bears were with all of the blown opportunities and really just playing down to competition. And I was all in on pretty much every Bear. I was asking the question, how many Bears is too many? And, you know, it really turned out that Matt Forte was probably the only decent fantasy play on the week. Can we trust the Bears on anything from a fantasy perspective after a performance like that, JC?
Yeah, I don't know if you can trust him. I do have him as a matchup to exploit. A lot of times we chase the week before. They look bad this week, so let's sit him. Well, let's face it, the Bears' offense really hasn't looked really explosive all year long. But I like this game, particularly on the ground. Washington's given up 4.7 yards per carry. The Bears are giving up 4.8 yards per carry. Washington's got the number 22 defense. I think the Bears played ridiculously tight against San Francisco. It's like, oh my gosh, we might make the playoffs, and it was such a conservative game plan. They did just miss a couple deep throws. They missed a couple field goals. They got a lot of dumb penalties. So I wouldn't be surprised if they bounce back. I wouldn't bet my fantasy season on it, but I'd certainly play Forte. I'd play Jeffrey, and if I was hurting, I would consider Cutler. It's a mid-level matchup, but I wouldn't stay away from it.
Yeah, Arthur, is this maybe a case where recency bias can cloud our judgment here? We saw the Bears in a prime matchup stink it up. They've got another decent matchup again, but I think people, especially in DFS, might be off of any sort of Bears after their performance this past week.
Yeah, and maybe therefore there is an opportunity. I haven't had a chance to look at some of the DFS pricing just yet for the week, but you know, certainly Alshon Jeffrey is going to be in your lineup. You know, I like Washington corner Bashaud Breeland, but I like Alshon's chances better of bouncing back, as JC alluded to. Cutler did miss him on a deep ball. Jeffrey had a couple drops on third down. I think they were pressing a little bit, and I expect a bounce back in regard to that. The backfield worries me quite a bit, though. You just look at the proliferation of touches. Certainly everyone was already a little leery about Jeremy Lankford's workload versus Matt Forte, but I don't think anyone saw Kadeem Carey getting the meaningful fourth quarter touches in this game. So that just kind of further clouds what exactly is going on in this backfield. And it's a shame, because I thought Matt Forte looked outstanding. He looked healthy. He looked like the Forte of old on a couple drives there, but he just didn't get that really consistent workload, and it's hard to predict that happening moving forward.
You know, Arthur, you're at Halas Hall, so nobody was dinged up. Langford wasn't dinged up. Forte wasn't dinged up. They just wanted to work a third back into the rotation. Is that really
what happened? It was odd, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy you would think you would trust the least in the high-leverage situation. So, you know, there's a couple things. Obviously, Forte, you know, everyone's a little dinged up, obviously, but it didn't look like anything happened in that game specifically. But Langford did have the big third-down drop earlier in the game. Maybe that contributed to Carey's opportunities. But it's a little befuddling. You have to wonder almost if the Bears are trying to look ahead and see maybe if Carey can be the counterpunch to Lankford, if we're all to assume that Forte is gone, and I believe he is after the season.
Interesting perspective. I know we've used the word timeshare to describe two-back sharing. Is there a stronger word for that when you've got three, when you got a little guy like Kadeem Carey coming in and stealing carries and touchdowns and just massively tilting everyone who've decided to play two Bears running backs in DFS like myself? Man, that was a dumb decision.
There's a word. I don't think we can use it on this podcast.
Is this a family podcast? We'll go with idiot. We'll call me with that. All right. I saw the Washington Monday night game against Dallas. I took a look at that on the schedule and called it a talk-to-your-wife night. JC, I think you watched some of it at least. What did you see out of Washington against the Cowboys?
Well, it was horrible. In my column, I said it was probably going to be ugly. If Dallas had packed it in, maybe Washington would be productive, but it was Dallas obviously hasn't packed it in, and it was a really boring game until the very end, and then both teams moved the ball well in the last few minutes. So I'm not sure what was going on there. It did not make for real stellar viewing, even though it came down to a last-second field goal.
Arthur, the one guy I'm looking at in fantasy this week on Washington is Jordan Reed. I think the Bears have had trouble covering guys deep and up the middle. Anybody else we can trust, or are you also on Reed too?
Yeah, I'll be on Reed. As long as he's healthy, I think he remains a tight end one for sure. And he's coming off a quiet game. And like you said, I don't really have a ton of confidence in whether it's Shea McClellan or Chris Pruszynski or whoever it may be tasked with covering him. So Reed will be in your lineup. DeSean Jackson is always going to be kind of a high ceiling but also low floor guy. And at the same time, it was nice to see his involvement. He caught 6 of his 7 targets, including the late touchdown for 80 yards. So, you know, he's probably going to be in your lineup and you're going to kind of have to tread lightly. But beyond that, I don't think so. I like Matt Jones a lot. I think he's clearly the most talented back in that rotation. I don't love the Bears' run defense, but they continue to kind of get, you know, Alfred Moritz at least a little bit involved too, probably because Jones's fumbles issues have kind of persisted.
JC, anybody on Washington that you trust this week from a fantasy perspective?
Well, I have had Morris and Jones on my bench all year long and have not had the cojones to waive them. And so I'm watching that game last night to try to figure it out. And I think it was either 16-3 or 18-3 carries Morris, Jones over Morris. And Morris can catch the ball out of the backfield. He didn't fumble last night. It's clear they'd rather have Jones get the ball. So I would probably look at playing Jones this week. I mean, the Bears, you know, Shane McClellan, apparently when they snap the ball, he just runs away from the middle of the field. So, I think there's going to be big holes in the middle, and, you know, they'll try to correct that this week. But I think he can have a good day.
All right, let's move on and go over our top plays. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. We'll give you a top guy, a mid-range guy, and a sleeper at each position. JC, we will start with you at quarterback. Who are you looking at this week?
Well, because I like to chase previous week's performance, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson at Baltimore. Baltimore actually a little better against the run. I believe they're 10th or 11th, and they're not very good against the pass. So I look for Wilson to have a good day. Mid-range guy, I'm gonna back up what I said before. I'd go with Cutler. I could see him having a better day, a bounce back. And then I like Osweiler at home as my sleeper against Oakland, number 28 pass defense. You might have C.J. Anderson banged up, which might mean they start throwing the ball. And I think they're going to want to start opening things up. And if you're going to open it up, Oakland's the defense to do it against.
All right, Arthur, who are you looking at quarterback this week?
Yeah, coming off the, you know, 5-touchdown performance, Cam Newton, I think, has a strong chance to kind of continue his ascent. I think he is the front runner for the MVP, and I think that does matter to him. In addition, obviously, to Carolina's undefeated season, the Falcons have kind of packed it in a little bit. So, got him at the top. Jameis Winston, interesting mid-range guy, third, fourth quarter comeback, continues to add value with his legs. He has 5 rushing touchdowns and obviously gets a Saints defense in New Orleans. Talk about having packed it in for the season. My sleeper, Brock Osweiler, going up against the Raiders. You know, had a tough matchup last week in San Diego, but the Raiders don't play a whole lot of defense, and Osweiler continues to play pretty well, even if the numbers didn't back it up last week.
I like Aaron Rodgers as my top guy this week, going with a long rest against the Dallas team on short rest, so I like that that matchup. Ryan Fitzpatrick is my mid-range guy against the Tennessee defense that just got roasted by Blake Bortles. My sleeper is Tyrod Taylor. It's at Philly, but I think Taylor's in a good spot, and Philly defense is still trash. So New England, you know, certainly rolled up on them, and that's continued a long parade of teams that have rolled up yards and points on the Philly defense. So Tyrod Taylor's my sleeper. Who are you looking at running back, JC?
Well, speaking of trash, there's the New Orleans defense, which is back in last place in the defensive rankings. So I'll go with Doug Martin at home against New Orleans. My mid-range guy, like T.J. Yeldon in Indy, he's clearly the go-to guy now. He got a goal line touchdown. I believe it's the first red zone rushing touchdown they've had. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come. And then I'm going to go way out on a line. You said sleeper. This guy is like Rip Van Winkle. I'll go with Kroll for Cleveland at home against San Francisco.
Okay, Isaiah Crowell. Let's look at Arthur. He's looking at a running back.
I'm going revenge narrative and LeSean McCoy going back home.
Yes.
Everything Chip Kelly did last week against New England can be undone quickly if McCoy goes off against that defense. I believe he will. We talked about him a little bit, but David Johnson, even on short rest, the Vikings are going to be without 3 of their top 4 defenders, including their 2 best run stuffers in Anthony Barr and Linval Joseph. This is a big opportunity for Johnson. In my sleeper, and now that I'm looking at it, I guess he's not really a sleeper, but Frank Gore, is coming off a solid game. The Colts are in, it's time to put up or shut up in this Jaguars defense. We just talked about 30th in points allowed, so Gore should have plenty of chances.
Well, Arthur, I'm with you on the top and mid-range guy. I would say LeSean McCoy sends Chip Kelly back to college, but the NFC East is so bad that even a loss in Philly is still in the hunt, and they could still end up the day in first, maybe. Mid-range guy, yeah, David Johnson against Minnesota. He's just been so good. Sleeper, Sean Drone. Cleveland can't stop the run, and if you're in a PPR league, Drone has been getting just a huge amount of targets from Blaine Gabbert. I think he still has the most targets since Gabbert took over. So if you're in a PPR league, Sean Drone is my guy. Wide receiver, JC, who are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I'm not getting real creative here. I go with Beckham as my mid-range guy. Bengals pay too much attention to Antonio Brown. I go with Martavis Bryant. And then sleeper, maybe I'm a bit of a stretch to call him a sleeper, but Allen Hurns for Jacksonville comes back. Same logic. They pay too much attention to Robinson. Indy does, and Allen Hurns has a big day.
All right, Arthur, who are you looking at wideout?
Yeah, I have ODB at the top as well against that Dolphins secondary. Brent Grimes is not a number one corner anymore. He's been routinely scorched. I think that'll continue. In the middle, I go back to that Arizona-Minnesota matchup. John Brown is coming off a big day, has the biggest passing connection with Carson Palmer on the season, a 68-yarder. I mentioned the Vikings injuries, but I didn't mention the safety situation. Their top four safeties could all be out Thursday. That means 37-year-old Terrence Newman, a cornerback, may be playing safety. And as my sleeper, I have Davante Adams. Who knows? He's killed me time and time again this year, but I just wonder if off that extra rest, off that miracle in Detroit, if maybe this Packers offense comes to life, and certainly they need Adams in order to make that happen.
I'm going to offer some expert analysis on that Minnesota secondary situation. It's bad.
That's right. It is very bad.
Hey, John Green, when you get here?
Yeah, print it. It's bad.
Vikings in a little bit of trouble right now. It's yeah. Kind of interesting.
I'm going to 3-for-3 with the top guy, Odell Beckham. You know, we saw what he did last year to close out the year. He's doing it again this year in Miami. He can do that against very easily. Mid-range guy, I'm going with Eric Decker. If I like Fitzpatrick against Tennessee, I'm going to like one of his wide receivers. I think Decker gets into the end zone. Sleeper, I think it's your last chance to jump on board the Devontae Parker bandwagon. I think that against the Giants, which is a really bad secondary, I think Parker could get plenty of targets, and he's still available in about 60% of leagues, so I'm going after Parker this week as my sleeper. Tight end, JC?
Load up on those Browns. I'll go with Barnage at home against San Francisco. I know it's Manziel, doesn't throw as much as McCown did to the tight end, but I think that'll change. Mid-range guy, Clay at Philadelphia. And then with Vernon Davis out with a concussion, assuming he is out, Owen Daniels for Denver.
All right, Arthur, who are you looking at tight end?
Yeah, you know, I like Greg Olsen a lot, obviously, coming off just another monster game. He kind of is the key to that Carolina passing offense that continues to gain steam. I don't think all that much of the Falcons defense, although I know it's made some strides in some areas. Mid-range, Jason Witten. If there's one thing we learned from that Monday night game, aside from just how poor the NFC East is, it's that Matt Castle is going to routinely take the safe throws to Witten, allows him to rack up the catches, and should continue against the Packers. And then a sleeper, maybe kind of a deep sleeper, but Martellus Bennett didn't look right last week. He says he's fine now with the ribs injury. It doesn't look like it. And Zach Miller just missed a couple big plays. He gets that Washington secondary we've talked a little bit about. I think Zach Miller could be an interesting play.
Yeah, I struggled between Olsen and Jordan Reed for my top guy. I ended up sticking with Jordan Reed. I think the Bears just struggle too much against that position and deep over the middle, so Jordan Reed could be in for a pretty big day. And if Washington gets into the red zone, that's who they're targeting. Mid-range, he's a bigger name than what mid-range should say, but Travis Kelce doesn't get the targets that he should, and I don't understand why Andy Reid doesn't realize he's got, you know, baby Gronkowski on his own team. Maybe you should throw him the ball more. But San Diego, again, team that struggles to defend the tight end, so if Kelce gets the targets he should, he'll have a huge game. My sleeper, kind of a deep guy, Kobe Fleener against Jacksonville. The Jacksonville defense has struggled, and I think Fleener is a favorite target of Matt Hasselbeck. So those are our top plays, and that'll do it for the podcast this week. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts, and listen to our podcast each week as we get you ready for the fantasy playoffs. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you've not done so already, please head over to subscribe, never miss an episode, and write a review if you want to. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. The Silverado is ready when you are. Get a head start on the new year with special offers and check out all of these Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guests on today's show, J.C. Talon and Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. Our associate producer was Nick DeMaio. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a great week of fantasy football.